thank God for all of you here today. I know it's not a mistake. You are here. God has a word for you and for me. So I begin with this question. Are you part of the problem or part of the solution? Whether that question is posed during a business meeting, a church council, or a family discussion. Yeah, I turn it on. Okay. You are good. Good. Thank you for helping me. So, I began with a question, and that is, are you part of the problem or part of the solution? Whether that question is posed during a business meeting, a church council, or a family meeting, it often springs from a sense of exasperation in trying to comprehend why someone has acted in a certain way. More often than not, the answer is a matter of perspective. You see, if we had been among the Israelites living in Egypt after 400 years of slavery, we will likely have seen Pharaoh as part of the problem. And he was. Yet God Almighty saw something more. Inexplicably, the Lord told Moses specifically to take the people back to Egypt, toward Egypt, and camp with their backs to the Red Sea. So Pharaoh will attack them and threaten their lives. The Israelites thought they were going to die. But God said he will gain glory and honor for himself through Pharaoh. And all his army and the Egyptians would know that he is the Lord. Please listen carefully to me now. When we simply cannot understand why God allows circumstances that threaten to overwhelm us, it's good to remember that he has our good and his glory in his mind. This is the situation we are going to see today. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given to me to deliver to you from his word tonight at this special hour in your life, in my life. And please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is eager to plant the seed of God's enduring and eternal truth in order to change believers among us here more into the blessed image of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose praise we just sang, and also to convict unbelievers among us here today of their sin of unbelief, graciously leading them into a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of lost sinners. So here is the message in a nutshell for you and for me to listen to. And please listen with carefully with an open heart and an open mind. Here is the message that can be an encouragement to you today. God, please listen, God always has our good and his glory in mind when he allows trying circumstances in the lives of his believing people. Folks, friends, faithful believers among us here today, fellow believers in Jesus Christ, in the fold and flock, in the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to demonstrate vividly to us today that even in the most troubling circumstance or situation God permits in the lives of those who belong to him, he always has their good and his glory in mind. When you have those two things going together for you, you are a winner in life. When God allows circumstances in your life for your good and for his glory, you are a winner. You will never be a loser. I tell you, friends, if you allow the Holy Spirit today to impress this message upon your heart, you begin to experience the supernatural power of God, not only working miraculously in your life, but also in your circumstances to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. So, please, if God today allows any of you here to be in a difficult or dire situation in life, let me remind you that He has your good in mind and His glory in mind. And if God allows that circumstance in your life, you can trust Him that He will also find a way to bring you out of it. And this is exactly what we are going to see today. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 14. Will you please listen carefully as I recite these words from Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 14. The Bible says, "As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. You will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." This is the word of God to the people of God, and may the Lord add His blessing to the recital of His holy word. I tell you, friends, Exodus chapter 14 is one of the most dramatic chapters in the whole Bible. In this chapter, one of the greatest miracles in all history will take place. In fact, this chapter actually pictures the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on behalf of wayward, wicked, woeful sinners like myself, who cannot never save myself. So please allow me to set before you the precious spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit has preserved in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 14 for us. Because this message is going to be a message of encouragement and instruction in the Holy Spirit as to how you and I can deal with a troubling, difficult situations in our lives. So if you leave here tonight without being encouraged in the Lord and instructed by the Holy Spirit, then you have missed out on the blessing God is desiring to bestow on those who have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Now, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the Egyptians, of the Israelites, the sons of Israel. If you looked and saw the Egyptian army coming to take your life, what will you do? Get upset and blame Moses? Lay down your life? What?
That's what Christ did.
Lay down for them? Lay down for them to run over you? Wait confidently for another miracle from God? Or take the fight to the Egyptians, or fight to the finish line, because death is better than slavery, or surrender, because slavery is better than death? Well, for the children of Israel, who were facing the most formidable and fiercest army of their time, their reaction, the Bible tells us, was to cry out to the Lord. Please, everyone says, cry out to the Lord.
Cry out to the Lord.
Yes. Notice what the Bible says. It says, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened, so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Talk about being caught between a rock and a hard place. Talk about finding yourself with your back against the wall. How many of you have had that experience before? Okay, many of you. Okay. When the Israelites saw the powerful advancing army of the Egyptians, they were greatly alarmed. They panicked. Their situation to the human eyes was a very pitiful and unfortunate one. You say, how is that? Well, you see, they were shut in on the east by the sea, on the south and the west by high, impassable mountains, and with the army of the Egyptians behind them. The point here is that this made escape impossible. Destruction and death seemed inevitable in this situation. You have to understand that militarily, they were no match for the battle-tested Egyptian army. The Bible tells us 600 Egyptian chariots, which were equivalent to armored tanks in Bible times, were bearing down on the helpless Israelites who were trapped between the mountains and the sea. The Egyptians were sweeping in for the kill. These poor, defenseless people were caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. From a natural viewpoint, the Israelites were in a tight position, a spot. Petrified, the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. And I want to tell you, that was the wisest thing they did in this chapter. Because from that point on, things will go downhill for them. So we have to learn from them. The fear of the dreaded Egyptian army led them to cry out to the Lord. Please listen to this. God brings us sometimes into difficult situations that we may fall down on our knees to cry out to Him. Remember, it was God Himself who directed them to camp in a place where they were literally trapped. So, they had every right to cry out to the Lord. Now, the question is, has God brought you into a place where you feel that you are trapped in life? Where you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, as Israel was. Then, learn to do the wise thing of crying out to the Lord. Now, someone says, what does it really mean to cry out to the Lord? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. Well, the Hebrew word translated cry out is a very important word in the Hebrew scriptures. The word is cha'ak. And I don't want you to try it. It means to cry out or call out for help and to God under great distress. It also means to cry out in desperation to Yahweh while facing a difficult situation or a great need. It is a special appeal to Almighty God of the universe to display His power on your behalf for the honor of His name. This means,
I cry out to the Lord.
Praise God. This means,
I cry out to Allah. I cry out to everybody.
Somebody get that part.
The Lord. Hey, the fucking please.
Hey.
Fucking. Just do something.
Sir.
You have to get him.
So, Jerry, can you help that young man? Help him out, please.
This means to cry out to the Lord. Well, this means for us to cry out to the Lord, you must first belong to the one true God, Jesus Christ. You must believe in Jesus Christ. And you must bring your need to Jesus with the honor of his name foremost on your heart. That, I tell you, friends, is what it means to cry out to the Lord, to move his heart, to display his power on your behalf. For the honor of his name. Now, although the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, they had no confidence in his help. And please remember, as I said, this was after watching God's powerful hand deliver them from Egypt. They saw God's faithfulness firsthand. He delivered them as he brought plague after plague on Egypt. Until Pharaoh said, you live. So the question was, where was their trust in God at this moment? What was their confidence in God? Notice how quickly their crying out to the Lord turned into a complaint against Moses in verses 11 to 12. Even before God would respond to their cry for help, the sons of Israel did one of the most favorite but fleshly things we often do when we are facing trying and tough times in our lives. We blame others. We blame the government. We blame our family. We blame our friends, our fellow workers, our boss, our leaders, our chaplain, or even the preacher and the pastor. The sons of Israel gave vent to the despair of their natural heart in complaints against Moses. At this point, Moses had been used by God to bring them out of Egypt. He hasn't done anything that was detrimental to their spiritual life. Moses was doing exactly what God told him to do, but he became the target of their bitter complaints and criticism. You see, if Moses were misleading them or mistreating them, mismanaging their resources, it would have been a different matter altogether. But he wasn't. And yet, the people complained bitterly against Moses. Listen to what they said again. They said, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. So they thought they were going to die in the wilderness. And therefore they were complaining bitterly against Moses. Grumbling and complaining against Moses actually became a major problem for the sons of Israel on their journey from Egypt to the promised land. They began it all in Egypt. And now they will continue to do so throughout their journey, grumbling, complaining, murmuring against Moses. I tell you, folks, it is far easier, listen, to complain than to express confident trust in God to act on our behalf for our good and for his glory. Their complaining actually reveals two things about them. First of all, it reveals their lack of trust in God. It exposes their unbelief. Please listen carefully. If you are in the habit of complaining, what you are actually saying to all to see and to hear is that you lack trust in God. A complaining person doesn't have what? Confidence in God. That's why he's complaining. That's why she's complaining. Spending all his or her time complaining. If you have confidence in God, complaint will have no place in your life. Now you think that by now that the faith of the children of Israel will be skyrocketing after seeing all the great miracles God had performed for them and on their behalf. So their lack of faith is startling indeed. Yet how often do we find ourselves doing the same thing? Complaining about inconveniences. I'm sure today you've heard people around you complaining. Complaining of discomforts, especially on this bitter cold night. If there were to be a complaint meter on the door, it would have reached the roof. Well, second, their complaining exposes their lack of gratitude to God and to Moses. Moses had been faithfully leading them according to the plan of God. Yet, they were quick to criticize and complain against him, as if he had dealt hardly and harshly with them. Everything Moses did up to this point was by the direction of their God and with design for their good and God's glory. But here they are, drawing and jabbing at Moses. You should have been there to see how their jaws were moving, like my friend over there who was drawing and jabbing at me. I tell you friends, when a complaining spirit takes root in your life, when facing tough and trying times, there will be no room in your heart to be grateful. There will be no room at all in your heart to be grateful. Why? It's because complaining people are not thankful people. Now, what shocks me in their complaining against Moses is that they wanted to return to Egypt and become slaves all over again. They conveniently forgot about their hardships, their heartaches, the humiliation they suffered at the hands of the mean and merciless Egyptians. But do we not do the same? Instead of focusing on God's faithfulness in the past, so as to encourage us to face our present crisis with confidence in God, we give in to what? Complaining, we whine, and we want to go back to our Egypt. Today, some of you here will cry out for deliverance from alcoholism, drugs, and other addictions in your life. But when the going gets tough for you tomorrow, you return to your Egypt, becoming slaves again to alcohol, to drugs, and all kinds of substance abuse. Well, this is where I'll end my message, because there have been so many disturbances in the message. But the last part of the message is more encouraging, but for some reason, I was not able to bring it to you. But what I want to say to you today is that if God allows tough and trying circumstances in your life, it is for your good and for His glory. And He promises to do what? To fight for you. And today, there are many of you here who have battles in your life. Battles of depression. Battles of disappointment. Battles of guilt. Battles of grumbling. Battles of jealousy. Battles of joblessness. The Bible says, the Lord will fight for you. Everyone says, the Lord will fight for you.
The Lord will fight for you.
Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you want Him to fight a battle in your life today, I want you to step up to the plate and ask Jesus, I'm bringing this battle to you, this battle in my life. I cannot fight it, but you promise to fight for me. So I'm asking you, to fight this battle for me. And watch Jesus begin to fight for you. Because when Jesus fights for you, you know what? Victory is guaranteed 100%. And so, if you are a believer in Jesus, whatever your battle, maybe your battle is homelessness, maybe your battle is your health, maybe your battle is financial or family problems, step up to the plate and ask Jesus to fight that battle for you. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus, you have never put your trust in Jesus, may I say to you today, you have no one who will fight for you and guarantee for you victory all the time. You'll be a defeated foe, defeated by your sins, defeated by Satan, and defeated by yourself. But all that can change for you today. How? You simply tell Jesus, turn to Jesus today, and tell Jesus you are a sinner, and trust Jesus with childlike faith. That he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins, and that he rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says you will be saved. So if you are that person, come here and I will talk to you. But if you are a believer, whatever battle you have, come here and we will pray with for you. For Jesus to fight the battle for you. Do you believe in Jesus? Okay. So the ball is now in your court to respond to what God has said to you.